Welcome back to this Divine Office podcast. We're just here to do the Office of Readings plus Invitatory this morning. And I hope that you're having a good day. Again, we will try to do this as quickly as possible without rushing through the office and not comprehending what's going on. So, again, the Invitatory begins off in the very first part of the office. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise, introduces it. It's a time to snap ourselves out of daily life so that we can recollect ourselves and focus on God. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is He who set it on the seas, on the waters He made it firm. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, our mighty God. End of Invitatory. Walking in darkness, let us all keep vigil, ever reflecting on the psalms we utter. First and wholeheartedly, let us sing with sweetness hymns to our Savior, that as we praise Him, Lord and King most loving, we may be worthy with His saints to enter courts of high heaven and enjoy forever blessed life and happiness. Grant this, we ask you, Godhead most blessed, equal and holy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through all creation, age to age, re-echoes your wondrous glory. Amen. And I like these antiphons and their psalms that we have today. Antiphon 1. Having ended the Invitatory, we go to Antiphon 1. Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you. Again, there's no ritual gesture, no sign of the cross, no nothing right now. Just praying with the psalms. Psalm 37. The church gives us the caption, "The Lot of the Wicked and the Good," to explain the subject and sentiment of the psalms. It quotes, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," from Matthew 5:5, to help place this in the context of the Gospels. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil. For they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you. If you trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live in the land and be secure. If you find your delight in the Lord, He will grant your heart's desire. Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you." K. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust Him and He will act, so that your justice breaks forth like the light and your cause like the noonday sun. Surrender to God and He will do everything for you. Be still before the Lord and wait in patience. Do not fret at the man who prospers, a man who makes evil plots to bring down the needy and the poor. Surrender to God and He will do everything for you. Calm your anger and forget your rage. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who do evil shall perish, the patient shall inherit the land. Surrender to God and He will do everything for you. A little longer and the wicked shall have gone. Look at his place, he is not there. But the humble shall own the land and enjoy the fullness of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Surrender to God and He will do everything for you. Antiphon 2. So we finished prayer of Psalm 1. Now we enter Psalm 2 with Antiphon 2. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey Him. And in reality, it's still the same psalm, part 2 of Psalm 37. The wicked man plots against the just and gashes his teeth against him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He sees that his day is at hand. The sword of the wicked is drawn. His bow is bent to slaughter the upright. Their sword shall pierce their own hearts. Their bows shall be broken to pieces. The just man's few possessions are better than the wicked man's wealth. For the power of the wicked shall be broken, and the Lord will support the just. He protects the lives of the upright. Their heritage will last forever. They shall not be put to shame in evil days. In time of famine, their food shall not fail. But all the wicked shall perish, all the enemies of the Lord. They are like the beauty of the meadows. They shall vanish like smoke. The wicked man borrows without repaying, but the just man is generous and gives. Those blessed by the Lord shall own the land, but those He has cursed shall be destroyed. The Lord guides the steps of a man and makes safe the path of the one he loves. Though he stumble, he shall never fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Then turn away from evil and do good, and you shall have a home forever. For the Lord loves justice and will never forsake his friends. The unjust shall be wiped out forever, and the children of the wicked destroyed. The just shall inherit the land. There they shall live forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey Him. End of prayer 2. Now, prayer 3 begins with Antiphon 3. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in His way. The just man's mouth utters wisdom, and his lips speak what is right. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps shall be saved from stumbling. The wicked man watches for the just and seeks occasion to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his power, nor let him be condemned when he is judged. Then wait for the Lord, keep to his way. It is he who will free you from the wicked, raise you up to possess the land, and see the wicked destroyed. I have seen the wicked triumphant, towering like a cedar of Lebanon. I passed by again, he was gone. I searched, he was nowhere to be found. See the just man, mark the upright. For the peaceful man, a future lies in store, but sinners shall all be destroyed. No future lies in store for the wicked. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of distress. The Lord helps them and delivers them and saves them, for his refuge is in him. Take a moment of sacred silence to come with your own prayer or reflection. Lord God, you proclaimed the poor blessed as you introduced a new spiritual existence. You spoke about the Father, Lord Jesus, and about the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of God, given to us in three or four different ways at least. Fill us generously with your gifts. Help us even in this earth to seek and find the blessings that you promised your people in the Old Testament. But teach us to put our trust first and foremost in the Father and seek his kingdom in its spiritual and earthly capacity first, rather than imitate the powerful and envy the rich. Having prayed for all the people in this group during these Psalms, we continue. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So that's another good thing. As we prayed these psalms, I envisioned myself standing sometimes before the throne of God, or sometimes I just sit here. But the words themselves inspire us to pray for one another. And that's actually one of the main purpose of the psalms. It's why religious and priests are required to pray the psalms in the office. They pray them what's known as in the name of the church or on behalf of the church. So we have prayed for the divine office group and for our family and friends, or I have, as I made that effort throughout the Psalms. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. And then we begin the part of the lesson. Teach me goodness and holy wisdom, for I have put my trust in your guidance. This is one of my favorite passages. It should hopefully strike us immediately as a prophecy of Christ, but a reading from the beginning. A reading from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 1, verses 16 through chapter 2, verse 1, and then another segment, skipping 9 verses, 10 to 24. It was the wicked who with hands and words invited death, and considered it a friend and pined for it and made a covenant with it, because they deserved to be in its possession. They who said among themselves, thinking not aright, let us oppress the needy just man, let us neither spare the widow, nor revive the old man, nor revere the old man for his hair grown white with time. But let our strength be our norm of justice, for weakness proves itself useless. Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God, and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us, because his life is not like other men's, and different are his ways. He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just, and boasts that God is his Father. Let us find out whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. By the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are in his possession experience it. This next segment of the Book of Wisdom is a reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And because we didn't read the proper readings yesterday, we were actually kind of asked, even though not required by the church, to pray or read another one today to get caught up. And this passage, I believe, will be in either All Saints Day or I think it's All Souls Day Mass pretty soon, in just a few days. The just will possess the kingdom is the caption. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men, indeed, they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love. Because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with the elect. But the wicked shall receive a punishment to match their thoughts, since they neglected justice and forsook the Lord. For he who despises wisdom and instruction is doomed. Vain is their hope, fruitless are their labors, and worthless are their works. Their wives are foolish, and their children wicked. Accursed is their brood. Yes, blessed is she who, childless and undefiled, knew not transgression of the marriage bed. She shall bear fruit at the visitation of souls. And so also the eunuch, whose hand wrought no misdeed, who held no wicked thoughts against the Lord. For he shall be given fidelity's choice reward, and a more gratifying heritage in the Lord's temple. For the fruit of noble struggles is a glorious one, and unfailing is the root of in understanding. But the children of adulterers will remain without issue, and the progeny of an unlawful bed will disappear. For should they attain long life, they will be held in no esteem, and dishonored will their old age be at last. While they should die abruptly, they have no hope, nor comfort in the day of scrutiny, for dire in the end is the end of the wicked generation. The wicked said, "Let us wait for the just man, for he disapproves of our way of life and calls himself the Son of God." This is the responsory prayer. Let us test the truth of his words. God will deliver him from the hands of his enemies if he truly is his son. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Let us test the Son of the truth of his words. God will deliver him from the hand of his foes. Second reading is from the tradition of the church, and it's from that letter of the Church of Rome to the church at Corinth, sometimes called 1 Clement. Here it's just listed as a letter to the Corinthians by St. Clement, Pope. Dear friends, take care that God's blessings, which are many, do not become the condemnation of us all. We must live lives worthy of him, and in mutual harmony do what is good and acceptable in his sight. He tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is a lantern, searching the hidden places of our innermost being. We must remember how near he is, and that no thought of ours, no conversation we hold, is hidden from him. It is right, therefore, that we should not turn our backs and flee from God's will. We should rather give offense to stupid and foolish men, puffed up and taking pride in their boastful speech, then give offense to God. Let us reverence the Lord Jesus, whose blood was shed for us. Let us respect those in authority. Let us honor the presbyters. Let us train the young in the fear of God. Let us lead our wives toward all that is good. Let them show by their conduct that they are lovers of chastity. By their gentleness, let them reveal a pure and sincere disposition. By their silence, let them manifest the control they have over their tongues. Let them bestow an equal charity, without respect for persons, on all who have a holy fear of God. Your children must share in the way of discipleship in Christ. They must learn how effective humility is before God. What chaste love can accomplish with God. How good and noble is the fear of God. For it brings salvation to all who possess it and who live holy lives with a pure heart. The one whose spirit is in us is the searcher of our thoughts and the counsel of our hearts. At his will, he shall take the spirit from us. All this is strengthened by the faith that comes to us in Christ. He himself addresses us through the Holy Spirit and says, Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Is there a man who wants life, desiring to see good days? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking what is false. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and go in pursuit of it. The Father is merciful in all he does and full of generosity. He is loving to those who fear him. In goodness and gentleness he gives his graces to those who approach him with undivided hearts. We must then put away all duplicity and not be distrustful in the face of his excelling and ennobling gifts. Responsory prayer. Bless the Lord at all times and ask him to guide you in his paths so that all that you do may be rooted in him. Ask God to guide you that you may do what is pleasing to him in sincerity and with all your strength so that all you do may be rooted in him. Final prayer. Almighty, ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks, and that concludes the office. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'll just make my remarks very briefly. I'll remark on a few things. First, I just love the Book of Wisdom. honestly, I remember reading this when I was about 21 or 22 years old, about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was just amazing. As I read this, there was such a sense of truth and goodness and right and wisdom and power. And it was really the first book of my adult life, I think, that, especially a book of old ancient texts, that absolutely blew my mind and rocked my world. I was reading it over and over. I spent that whole week reading it over and over again because it struck me with such power. And that's the power of God's Word. So I don't know how many of you are Catholics or come from a Catholic tradition or an Anglo-Catholic tradition or something where you have this in your Old Testament, but it's very sad if you don't have it in your Old Testament, because there is this great power. And even today, you can see this powerful, specific prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ given through the philosophers of the Book of Wisdom, that put together the Book of Wisdom, and how they knew the just man would be sorely oppressed and even tortured with those exact revilements that our Lord was. And next, you had the letter of Clement, which is also very special to me and very close to my heart. I even may opt for a semi-continuous reading of the letter of Clement, of the works of Clement, because I hold them in such high esteem. But today, he talked about how we are blessed with many things, and God's blessings, again, can even become something that harm us if we don't use them properly. But we need to know the power of chaste love. So anyway, those are my brief remarks. Hopefully you too are enjoying this office. If you want to know the texts or reflect on the texts for the office, most of them, but not all of them, are on the website that priests and religious use when they don't have their physical breviaries or they're out doing something. And that website is ibreviary.com. I-B-R-E-V-I-A-R-Y. .com. That's the name of the book that the prayers of the office are in. It's called a breviary. Dana signing off. Hope you're having a good day. Again, this one was longer than normal because we had to make up two readings, one from yesterday and one from today.